Cooper Rush is back, baby. What does that mean about the Cowboys offense going into 2023? All that and more this episode of the Locked On Cowboys podcast.
You are Locked On Cowboys, your daily Dallas Cowboys podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Cowboys.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cowboys podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'd like to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. This episode of Locked On Cowboys is brought to you by the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. I am your host, Marcus Mosher. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. Joining me today, as always, is Landon McCool. You can follow him on Twitter at McCoolBCB. Landon, Cooper Rush is back. We've got a quarterback competition, right?
I'm feeling the rush. I don't think we have a quarterback competition. I'm sure there are certain segments of Cowboys fandom that immediately started tweeting that as soon as they saw this.
I saw it multiple times already from people at big networks as well.
Excellent. It's good that Cooper's back. I mean, I think, you know, the first thing that came to mind when I saw this was our conversation as to why we felt like Cooper wouldn't be back, right? And that was a long time ago before we had heard some of the comments from Mike McCarthy about, got some more insight about the changes in the offense that are going to happen, or maybe the lack of changes in the offense that are going to happen. I tend to think that this kind of portends more that this is not going to be a major change in the playbook if you're bringing back Cooper Rush. I think I think between this and Mike McCarthy's 30% comment, I think we're starting to get a little bit of a better idea of exactly, you know, where the changes are going to be made on offense. And I don't know if they're in the playbook as much as they're in the play caller.
I'm actually shocked that Cooper Rush is back. I honestly thought it was just a lock that he was going to go to the Chargers and back up Justin Herbert and help Herbert learn that new offense with Kellen Moore. So the fact that he's back on a relatively cheap deal, what is that, 2 years, $6 million at the most, is pretty surprising to me. And I think you're right. Like, I think it shows the offense isn't changing all that much. Maybe the way, you know, the way their play calls are, you know, maybe coming in and when the sequenced. Cowboys run, the sequencing. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that maybe changes, but I think all in all, this is a pretty solid move by Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, especially if the idea is that the playbook wasn't going to change so drastically, having a guy that knows the playbook that continues to kind of stay in the locker room. Now you don't have to worry about the backup quarterback situation. You know, you've got a capable guy who can win games for you in this system. There's value to that for sure.
Absolutely. My next question that goes along with this is, we've heard all offseason that the Cowboys would like to draft a quarterback, a developmental quarterback. Do you think bringing back Cooper Rush makes that more or less likely?
I don't think it makes it. I think it doesn't change it. You know, I think that they would have drafted I think that there's a high likelihood that either they would have drafted a backup quarterback maybe a little bit higher in the draft if they didn't have a solution in-house. But now that they definitely have a backup and they've got Will Grier, not that Will Grier is going to factor into the plans or anything like that.
But he's somebody that kind of knows the offense, has been around for 2 years now.
Yeah, I imagine that they will draft a quarterback. Obviously, I think it's going to be – I would look more in the – fifth, sixth, seventh round situation, right? Like maybe, I mean, I keep circling around the Clayton Toon kid from Houston. I really liked watching him in the Senior Bowl. And I think as far as kind of, I feel like he's the best of those down the draft, you know, stash and develop type quarterbacks that you're seeing, you know, kind of in the vein of the Purdue kid and some of the other guys that are not like, you know, day one, day two picks at quarterback. Everyone basically beneath Hendon Hooker, right? Like, yeah. I think that Hendon Hooker seems to be the line of demarcation.
He's the developmental quarterback that everybody wants, like, in round three, that's probably going to go in round two, right?
Exactly. So I think Toon is probably, you know, I like him more than Stetson, what's his name?
Bennett from Georgia.
Yeah, Bennett. I think he's kind of at the top of that next level of quarterbacks. That includes Bennett and some of those other folks that are kind of, you know, developmental skills guys, right?
Re-signing Cooper Rush makes it more likely they draft a backup quarterback, because I don't think they want that guy to be quarterback two right away. I think they want him to be QB3, be inactive, be the guy, though, that gets a ton of reps in the preseason. So in some ways, I do think Cooper Rush being back does make it more likely that they take a guy with upside. Like you mentioned, Clayton Toon, I think, is one. I would also say just keep an eye on Aiden O'Connell from Purdue. Mm. Wink, wink, wink. Cowboys might have a little private workout with him next week. I think we're going to see the Cowboys draft one. I'll say round four is when they take a shot on their quarterback.
You know, listen, if they keep kind of chipping away at needs and stuff and they're truly able to draft free, then I wouldn't agree. I think either way, you and I both agree that this signing – definitely, one thing it definitely doesn't do is reduce the chances that they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're
100%.
They're drafting a quarterback.
All right, so let's talk about kind of all the moves the Cowboys have made so far this offseason. What that maybe tells us about the upcoming year. Next, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here, and we know that you have a favorite bar or puff. And now is your time to make it count. Go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know that I'm going to be voting for Cookie Dough, my absolute favorite. And if you want to support your favorite sports team to win, then you're going to be voting for that bar too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built Bars. But not only that, one lucky Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have the absolute best Built Bars sent directly to your house every single month. You've got to try Built Bars. They're absolutely fantastic. Best protein bar on the market right now. Only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, but 17 grams of protein, all covered in 100% real chocolate. Run to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff. And pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. All right, Landon, let's get to some questions. This one from Mark. He wants to know, what insight into the front office does these week's moves tell us?
Well, I don't know that we can draw all the conclusions yet. I mean, I think we've seen them be more aggressive than they have been in the past. But I also think that this, you know, the Gilmore, that's kind of all based on the Gilmore trade, which, I mean, the Gilmore trade, like, that's very much in the Cowboys' wheelhouse. Like, I don't know that that's changed, like, the picture of anything,
what,
right?
We've seen,
like,
them do this with, what, Michael Bennett, Robert Quinn, Jonathan Hankins last year. Like, they've done this type of move several times before.
Yeah, and I think some people are kind of like, taking that as a sign that they're, you know, that combined with the timing of some of the contract restructures as like them being, you know, a different or a changed or a more aggressive free agent group. I don't know. I mean, to me, this just seems like a situation where Cowboys fans have kind of worked themselves up into a frenzy that nothing was going to happen. And then when something that's very typically Cowboys happens, they view it as like outside the norms. This was a cheap deal that the Cowboys got a good player for cheap. Didn't cost them very much. This is very much like the type of deal the Cowboys do. Now, you know, if you're talking about trading a first round pick for somebody or, you know, top you know, day one or day two pick for a player, that would be kind of the more aggressive move. But trading a comp pick for a guy who's on a very cheap deal, near the top of the skill level of cornerbacks, like that's a very Will McClay move, right? Buy low and hope that there's upside there. So I don't know that it's. I guess what I'm getting at is that I don't know that we've seen anything yet that makes me think know, things have been changed a ton in the front office, but they're lining themselves up for some stuff. You know, they're getting themselves kind of in an area where you feel like that could, stuff could happen. But they also could be lining all this up to roll it over into next year to sign their own guys. So
you know why I'm this not
for the gun yet?
Why this it's the same exact as last year's, because the Cowboys still haven't signed an outside free agent. If you remember, they were the last team in the NFL to sign an outside free agent last year. They didn't do it until like 4:30 Eastern time on Friday last year, and it was James Washington was their first signing. So I anticipate that we'll probably get like one of those type of signings here, maybe later today or on Saturday. So we have to actually do some work over the weekend. But this is a very typical Cowboy offseason. I don't see anything different so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think that this, some of the order of some stuff and some of the names of the guys that have been pushed around a little bit, I think are surprising to some folks. But I don't know that this is like a seismic shift away from their normal offseason routine yet. Not that couldn't have changed, but I just don't know that we've seen it quite yet.
They prioritized two big defenders, right? Leighton Vander Esch and Donovan Wilson. They signed a couple other guys back just to fill spots. Cooper Rush, CJ Goodwin on a one-year, $1.3 million deal. This feels very much like just a typical Cowboy offseason where they're waiting till we get to the third or fourth wave of free agency, and that's when they'll start to explore, you know, some of the guys available. But feels like a lot of the same to me.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know, outside of the kind of wide receiver stuff that we had talked about and you know, maybe – some tight ends. I mean,
well,
honestly,
we're going to talk about the tight ends in just a second. Yeah.
I don't know that there's anyone out there that, like, I'm dying for them to sign. You know, like, I guess that's the other part, right? Is that the market to me is not like.
Outside of wide receiver and tight end, what is the other position the Cowboys desperately need to address right now?
Probably interior defensive line, right? Like,
and it just feels like they're waiting for a little bit to sign Carlos Watkins and Jonathan Hankins back. Like, that's probably what they're going to do here, right?
Yeah, or see exactly where the market – like, that's their fallback. Like, they'll see where the market goes, maybe, like, some more kind of middle tier or upper middle tier defensive tackles don't get signed right away, and that, you know, kind of drives the market down. It doesn't look like it's going
that
way.
There.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we've arrived, you know. So I do wonder if maybe we do start to see something soon, and if not, then yeah, maybe they just continue to wait and then sign Watkins and Hankins late.
And that's the point, right? Like, you're set at linebacker now with Vander Esch coming back. I know there's people talking about Bobby Wagner, but
it's unnecessary money. I mean, like, it's so much money. Like, and it's probably more than Leighton Vander Esch. And like, we like Bland. We like, I mean, not Bland, Clark. I always do that. Always Clark. Get Bland and Clark mixed up. We like Clark. I think they still want to give Cox opportunities, you know? So I don't know that they want to sign another veteran, you know, big money linebacker for you.
And just run through the positions. Corner, they're good until the draft. Safety, they are good until the
draft. They're definitely good, yeah.
Edge rusher, I think they're good right now. They're still working on getting Dante Fowler back. Offensive tackle with Tyron Smith coming back, they're good. Interior offensive line, you could convince me they need a veteran. Like, yes, if they want to go out and get somebody there, I could see that. Everywhere else, I think they're probably good as of right now.
And that's the thing, right? Is that, like, and you're trying to improve your team, but, like, you look at all the other spots and it's like, are there, like, actual monumental increases, like, that you can get by going out and signing a guy to, like, look, no matter what's going to happen to free agency, you're going to overpay, right? Like, it's, that's just the nature of free agency, right? Because you're trying to procure someone's services and you're in the competition with all the other teams. You're going to overpay. So if you're going to overpay, then get like a piece that moves the needle. There are not that many pieces out on free agency that move the needle above what you've already got in house. So I think that the Cowboys still have, like, there's trade market to look into. There are a couple of wide receivers. You know, we talked about Odell Beckham. Yeah. We've talked there. We've heard all the rumors about, you know, trade market for Judy, for D-Hop, for whoever. Like, I think all of that is still in play. But outside of that, like, everyone kind of anticipating, like, some big free agent move. I agree. Even, like, the one that makes the most sense to me right now would be an interior offensive lineman. But I also think that it's very easy to say that's a need that probably should be filled in the draft. You're going to get a better quality player at a cheaper price. And on top of the fact that you're trying to get all of that in an interior offensive lineman who you don't necessarily want or need to start next year. So all that to me screams draft pick more than let's pay a bunch of money for an insurance policy at guard, which, again, just to kind of remind everyone, is actually our insurance policy for Tyron Smith since you're moving Tyler outside the left tackle in that case.
And I want to be clear. This isn't us advocating that the Cowboys shouldn't go out and make free agent moves. That's not the case. They have made a couple retaining their own. I don't necessarily call those upgrading your roster. It's kind of just keeping things intact. But at the same time, the Cowboys are in a different situation than a team like the Colts or the Bears, where you have to add talent to your roster because you have so much money and you're just talent deficient, right? I think for the Cowboys, they feel good about most of the spots on the roster. They want to go into the draft and see how things play out. And they don't want to blow all their money in March when your roster doesn't have to be set in March, right? Yeah. You can still make moves in June, July, and August to get ready. And I frankly wonder if that's what they're waiting on at receiver. Like, you don't need to have wide receiver two solved right now.
Right now. I that's such a good point. Like, I think that's something that we tried to bring up last year that I think folks didn't listen on or didn't want to hear on, is that you don't have to have, like, there at no point during the offseason are you playing any games. So, like, the solution for what your, you know, game day roster is going to be doesn't need to happen, doesn't have to happen in March and April. The thing is, there are windows, right? There are windows of opportunity to better your team. The draft is obviously the best and biggest opportunity, right? Because you're getting young, cheap talent coming in from college. Free agency is another window, right? Where, okay, you can improve, but it will cost you a little bit more, but there's also an opportunity you're going to get a much higher floor with some of those folks because they're known quantities. And then there's another window in the training camp preseason area where teams start seeing what they have in their draft picks. And then that in turn turns around and makes them make decisions about the veterans on their team, which means that they are looking to move off of them, whether that be cutting or trading them. And that's another spot where you can, again, move the needle on your roster building. If you can find a situation where, okay, hey, this team drafted a young wide receiver. He really broke out in camp. Maybe we don't need this veteran contract that, you know, this guy that's got like a year left, that's got more money than we're willing to pay. Maybe we'll move him off for a second or third round pick, and he's a quality player. There are still more opportunities between now and when we actually have to play games, many more opportunities for this team to get better. So don't feel like you're missing the only opportunity for the Cowboys to get better.
And the other thing I'll say specifically about wide receiver is I think there's going to be lots of opportunities to add a number two receiver over the next 5 or 6 months, right? Yeah. You know the names now. Hopkins is going to get traded relatively soon. Keeping an eye on Brandon Cooks because I just don't know how many teams are willing to eat that much money on a guy that's 29 years old or whatever. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans take significantly less as we get closer to the draft or after the draft. I also, just throwing this out there, I think you're going to see a lot of teams do some soft tanking this year for a certain quarterback that lives near you. I've already kind of started to hear some rumblings about that. So, you know, maybe a team like the Broncos who think that they're going to be good this year and they want a first-round pick for Jerry Jeudy, maybe they get into week three of the season and realize, you know what, our team doesn't have it. Let's kind of tank this thing so we can get a better quarterback. Here's Jerry Jeudy for – you know, a third round.
A song. Yeah.
You don't need to have everything figured out by the time week one starts either. And we saw that last week with the Cowboys, right? Like, defensive tackle is an issue. It's a long season. They grabbed Jonathan Hankins and he helped right away. So,
yeah,
something to keep an eye on. I want to talk about the tight end market because that is a position the Cowboys could add to. And boy, has this been a soft market for tight ends. Let's talk about that next. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money lines to point scores to three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Landon, let's talk about the tight end market. A lot of people wanting us to talk about Dalton Schultz. And is there a possibility that he comes back? And would you want him to come back?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be interested in it, especially if the money was right. And it looks like the money could definitely be right with the way the market is going right now. So, the Cowboys may have played the franchise tag wrong with Tony Pollard just based on how soft the market is running back. But the Cowboys definitely played the tight end market last year correctly by franchising tag Schultz. Schultz has got to be upset about it. But we saw this a mile away, right? We knew that this tight end class was coming this year. We talked about it last year when they franchise tagged him, that it was probably going to the Cowboys were probably trying to play the numbers and play the market. They knew that the tight end market for the draft would be very nice for them. And that would in turn screw some of the leverage that these free agent tight ends would have, because most of these teams know that they can go to the draft to get a good guy. So, and that's very much played out. So I think if, you know, honestly, I think for the Cowboys, they probably will continue to let Schultz wait a little while and see if there's anything that kind of develops here. But if the market doesn't develop the way it should, and all things being equal, and if the deals are similar to what he was being offered in Dallas, I don't know what his personal feeling is towards the Cowboys, if he feels animosity towards them or about the franchise tag or anything like that. But if not, like, he already has a home in Dallas. I could see there being a situation where he just kind of turns around and goes, you know, Dallas is probably as good a situation as any of these others. And if I'm getting equal money, you know, maybe it makes sense to just return on a simple deal, maybe a short-term deal.
Well,
right?
that's what I was going to say. So let's just do some context. Mike Gesicki, who was widely viewed as the other top tight end in this class, he took a one-year deal with the New England Patriots with a max value of being $9 million. Remember, last year, Gesicki got franchised by the Dolphins, and that was, what, 1 year, $11 million. Now he's taking a $2 million pay cut. That could potentially be more than that. If you're Dalton Schultz, would you rather take a one-year, $9 million team deal from another team? Dallas isn't going to offer that.
No.
Or would you rather take a, let's say, three-year, $31 million deal from Dallas?
I mean, I think, you know, again, like, I think the familiarity there, like, it makes some sense, you know, for him to come back to Dallas in that case, right? Like, I don't know.
And you're probably wondering why would the Cowboys not offer 1 year $9 million, but 3 years $30 million? It's because they could spread the cap hit and they can do some funky things with it, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas has an offer sitting out there for him like that. But he wants more.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's like, I mean, it's the classic go out and see what you can make and come back to us. You know, we just don't know that that's what they've determined. I mean, again, I think the unknown element here is exactly Schultz's feeling about the Cowboys in the front office. You know, if everything's kosher with them and he enjoyed his time here, then yeah, honestly, if he doesn't get an offer, you know, in the next day or two.
As I say, yeah. If we get to Monday and he doesn't have an offer, then we're...
Then I can't imagine he's going to get a better offer than what the Cowboys are offering him. Yeah.
He's not. My other question for you is, let's say Schultz does leave and he signs somewhere else. Are you interested in any of the other tight ends that are on the market now that Hayden Hurst is gone, Mike Gesicki is gone? Like, any of those guys do anything for you, or are you just waiting until the draft?
I mean, Foster Moreau is a guy that we kind of keep throwing around. Not really. You know, I think honestly, Schultz is the best of the bunch left. And I don't know that anyone else kind of moves the needle too much. At this point, if you're signing another tight end that isn't Schultz, then you're kind of relying on your down roster tight ends for improvement at the position.
I got a name for you.
Let's hear it.
How about a veteran blocking tight end that can do a good role? How about some Jeff Swaim action?
I mean, I'm always on the Swaim train. I'm so glad he hasn't retired yet. You know, look, honestly, I want Swaim to follow a similar kind of path to coaching that, like, we saw from Dan Campbell, right? Yeah, like, I want to see him kind of going into that, him being the next former Cowboy tight end who turns into a coach. I like Swaim a lot, and I think there's a possibility that the Cowboys do sign
somebody like that, right?
Maybe they do that. Maybe they sign a veteran tight end and say, okay, let's see. You know, it's time to see what these young guys can do. Ferguson, Hendershot, let's see what y'all can do. I think you have to, though,
because you can't go into next season with your oldest tight end either being Dalton Kincaid, who you draft, or Sean McEwen. Like, you need some type of veteran in there just to, like, show you how to do certain drills, right?
Sean McEwen, the salty veteran of the tight end room.
I think he'll be the oldest tight end on the roster if you don't sign anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he would. I mean, that's without a doubt. I don't disagree with that. A tight end is a position where experience matters and is important. Maybe you do go out and sign a veteran tight end. I mean, honestly, if they do, then you may have to say goodbye to your buddy, Sean McEwen. I don't know.
That's right. It's fine.
Yeah. But I don't think that's the worst idea.
No, I kind of do think they need to grab somebody, but it doesn't need to be a high profile name. Maybe you bring in a Cameron Brate just to get you through the offseason and training camp, and he's just not part of your plans. Like, I could see them doing something like that this offseason. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for making Locked On Cowboys your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Scouting Show with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise. Every Monday through Friday, find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can go download the Locked On Cowboys podcast on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Go follow Landon at McCoolBCB. I'm at Marcus_Mosher. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you guys next time.